It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fans First Sports Network's NFL Draft Preview Show. This isn't a preview, though. We're recapping day two of the NFL Draft. It's Jeremy Betts and Andrew Wilbar here with you. And as wild as the first round was, day two took it up a notch with the trades early on and then a lot of crazy picks, a lot of reaches, but a lot of good picks as well. Andrew, what was your overall takeaway of day two of the NFL draft here in 2024?
Well, my major predictions have been wrong every day of the draft so far, because I told you all last night that I don't think there's going to be as much movement at the beginning of the second round, just based upon the fact that there wasn't a must-have player. And yet we saw as much, if not more, than we've ever seen at the beginning of the second round. So for those type predictions, it's not my year, but there were definitely some really intriguing picks. Some teams, there's a lot of teams we'll get into. Some picks we didn't like, some that we did. But there were a few drafts that stood out above the rest, and I know we're going to get into those today.
Yes, and let's just jump right into that, because I think when you're talking winners and losers, which is kind of what we did yesterday, we'll follow the same format today, basically do some winners and losers to start, then some surprise picks, both good and bad, that we took from rounds two and three. And then at the end, we'll look ahead to day three and just kind of look at some of the players that are still available and see what areas teams might be able to go. But starting out with just some teams that really knocked it out of the park, Andrew, go ahead and give me a team that you really liked their draft on day two.
I'm going to start with the Los Angeles Rams. You talk about a team that lost Aaron Donald. They brought in Kobe Turner last year, who had a really good rookie season, but they need someone else in there. How about Braden Fisk from Florida State? Pair him with Kobe Turner, man. I'm excited to see those two together. Those guys have great motors. They're both undersized, but they play bigger than their size. They're physical. They're not afraid of getting in, doing the dirty work. They can get the lower. They do a good job of getting the lower aspect, getting the lower pad level in the run game, trying to get lower in short yardage situations. Then they come up with Blake Corum, a guy obviously is a Michigan fan I absolutely love. Kyron Williams is going to get worn down sooner or later if he continues with a full workload. They needed to add somebody else for early downs. Corum's going to step in immediately, and they're going to be a change of pace there. I love the compliment that he is to Kyron Williams' game. And then finishing out with Cameron Kitchens, a guy who at one point, Jeremy, we thought was for sure the number one safety in this draft and could go in the top 40, 45 picks. But then he runs a 4.6, 4.65. Yeah. It's like, oh, what are we doing here? But then he comes back at his pro day, runs in a high 4.5s, which is better. And let's not forget that there's a certain safety. The name has escaped me, Jeremy. Maybe you can help me. Was on the Rams for a while and then went to the Bills. I do not know why I cannot remember this name.
I don't know who you're talking about. So,
okay, I'll let you go with the next team. I'm going to look this up because it's going to bug me. But yeah, ran a 4.7 in the 40 and has been a pretty good safety at the NFL level. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to do a division here because I think the AFC North teams absolutely knocked it out of the park. And this coming from a Steelers fan, you're a Steelers fan as well. So I don't think this is biased, though. This is just looking at the picks in their natural layout, how they were taken. The Browns, let's start there, didn't have a day one pick, but they come in and get two impactful players on day two in Michael Hall Jr. in the second round specifically. I just thought it was a fantastic fit for the Browns. And then Zach Zenter in round three on the interior of the offensive line, really working in the trenches there. And this is a team that wants to run the football, that wants to be brutal on the defensive front, just like they were last year. This is going to be a tough team to beat in 2024. I'm just putting it out there. The Browns look good. And if their quarterback situation, whoever is going to be the guy for the majority of the year, if they can get solid play out of that quarterback, they're going to be a tough team to deal with. But the Bengals had a great draft. The Ravens had a great draft here on day two. I didn't like the Ravens day one pick in Nate Wiggins, but on day two here, getting Roger Rosengarten at the end of round two, fantastic value there, Andrew. I thought he could go at the back end of round one. We were talking about that going into the draft, and then they land. Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. This is an absolutely explosive linebacker who can play anywhere on the field. Really, you can even move him outside to edge. In on this defense as well, he's got some flexibility. Really good player there. But the Bengals, McKinley Jackson in the third round, Jermaine Burton. If Jermaine Burton can get his head screwed on straight, this guy is a lights out athlete. Really good player. And could be a fantastic addition for them. And then in the second round, Chris Jenkins out of Michigan, another Michigan guy, full of Michigan guys this year.
That's right.
He was a really good interior defender for them. Not a lot of production, but a lot of upside for him. And I think the Bengals did a great job. And then you get to the Steelers, who just nailed it value-wise in this draft with Zach Frazier in round two, and then landing Roman Wilson, another Michigan wide receiver here. And then maybe my favorite pick of the entire draft, Peyton Wilson, with their final pick in round three. This division knocked it out of the park. It's already the best division in football. I couldn't tell you right now as we sit here today who's going to win this division. All four teams have strong claim to the top, I think, at this point. So they're my big winner. Did you have any comments on that, or you want to get to a loser here?
Well, one thing I want to mention specifically as pertains to the Steelers draft, on our big board for the FFSN big board, the players that were rated, Troy Faletano was 13th overall on the board. Next, we had Zach Frazier at 32 overall, Peyton Wilson 42 overall, and Roman Wilson 54 overall. So the Steelers have gotten four players inside the top 54 on the FFSN big board, which is absolutely incredible. Omar Khan is doing a good job of cashing in. And other thing I've got to mention, Jeremy, I just want to mention a couple of these before we go to losers. A couple of teams that I thought also had fantastic drafts. Kingsley Suamataia, Kansas City. We were talking about them in the first round and with the BYU connection, Andy Reid. This makes all the sense in the world. They need a left tackle, but they go out and get Xavier Worthy, a weapon for Mahomes instead. But they still get him in the second round. How can you do this, the NFL? Yeah. You're letting the Chiefs control this. If the Chiefs won last year without Xavier Worthy and Kingsley Suamataia, how much more dangerous could they be with these two guys, especially if, say, Rashee Rice, let's say he gets suspended four games, six games, whatever. That's going to be the beginning of the year, not the end. So they're going to have Rashee Rice back for the end of the year, too. This team now has weapons. They have a good resemblance of a line, and the defense should still be formidable enough. There's still some good corners in free agency. I think they can go out and get one on the cheap, and that will be able to help. It's not going to be to the same level of Legarius Sneed, obviously, but they can find someone there to play alongside Murphy, and they can kind of patch the secondary together. And the front defensive line is still really good. So the Chiefs are a scary-looking team, considering that they were able to win last year. You better be hoping for some injuries, NFL, because the Kansas City Chiefs are coming looking for a three-peat.
They are, and I would say that at this point still they're the favorites, obviously, in the AFC. But you've got some teams coming up. You really do. I wasn't in love with the Texans draft, but they were okay. You know, there's some other teams here. The Chargers inside the Chiefs' own division, I thought, had two really good picks, adding Ladd McConkey and Junior Colson on day two here. That's a good draft for them so far. I don't know. You mentioned the Rams, the Eagles, and the Lions are interesting because they both double dip at corner, but it makes perfect sense because those are easily their biggest weaknesses, and it makes sense there. What did you think of the Buffalo Bills, though, after not making a first-round pick, trading out of there to go Keon Coleman right away to start off the first round, and then a little bit later the second round, a little bit later taking Cole Bishop? Seems to be a pretty good consolation prize here in the second round for them. I thought that was okay for the Bills, too.
I think Coleman was their target all along. And they knew that they could get him at the top of the second round. People were bashing the fact, oh, you let two teams go ahead of you to get a wide receiver. They got the one they wanted, and they got extra compensation in the process. So to me, that's a no-brainer. A-plus pick for the Bills, not only to be able to move back, but to get a receiver who's got a ton of upside, can step in from day one and be that X receiver. That is a huge pick for them. He's going to be relied on heavily in year one. Fantasy managers are going to like Keon Coleman in the early rounds of the draft, unless they add somebody else between now and the draft, and between now and the season. They really don't have the money to do so. Love that. Cole Bishop, they lost their safety, so they had to get someone back there. And Bishop is a versatile piece. He can move all over. He can play either safety spot. I like him best at free. Can even come down and play a little bit of nickel. But I like him as a free safety for the Bills. And the one pick I wasn't the biggest fan of was Dwayne Carter. I thought it was a little bit of a reach. But they did lack depth along the defensive line. He does fill a need there. So from a needs perspective, does fill something. And the defensive lineman went off the board quick today. And there's not, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point. So I would have probably, if I were Buffalo, I would have looked at potentially getting, say, a guy like a Cameron Kitchens or Jaden Hicks. I thought Hicks would have been a great pick for him, doubling down at safety. But the first two picks hit it out of the park today for Buffalo. A plus for Keon Coleman, A for Cole Bishop. Those were two outstanding picks.
All right, give me a loser, Andrew. Some of these drafts you didn't like.
I'm going to go with the Raiders. I understand that they filled needs with Jackson Powers Johnson and Delmar Glaze, but Glaze was a little bit of a reach to me. I saw him more as a late fourth, early five guy, a guy that I thought was better fit on day three. He's got upside, no doubt. He's got decent footwork. He's light on his feet for a guy that size, but there's still some technical issues, plays over his feet a little bit too often. There's a lot of things he's got to fix in his game, and the Raiders have a wide open gap at right tackle right now. They've got to do something about that. And the other pick, Jackson Powers Johnson, we'll see what they do with him. My guess is they're going to try him at guard, considering that's how they announced him as. I just don't know what their plans are for him. The Raiders draft hasn't necessarily made sense so far. Bowers was best player available, so I can accept that, even though that wouldn't have been who I would have taken necessarily. Mm-hmm. But today did not make sense for them either. With Glaze, Powers Johnson, the positions did, but not necessarily the way they're going to utilize them, nor the guys who necessarily fit their scheme or the overall readiness to step in from day one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the San Francisco 49ers. Just not a huge fan of what they did. Personally, I like Renardo Green, but I don't like him in the second round.
No,
I thought that was a major reach there for Green. And then Dominic Pooney in the third round. Andrew, there were some higher upside guys still on the board than him. I thought he's a solid player, but I don't think his upside is that great. And I thought that maybe if the 49ers swapped the direction that they were going there as far as getting corner and tackle, that maybe, you know, sticking there at 31 or at 63 in the second round and taking Suamataia instead of letting the Chiefs get him, that would have been great for San Francisco. I have no idea why they trade out of that pick and let him go to Kansas City and then go with Renardo Green. They probably could have had Green in the third round, Andrew, and gotten Suamataia in the second, and I would have felt a lot better about that. So I wasn't a big fan of the Niners. I do want to shout out the Washington Commanders. I thought that they took advantage of the picks that they had and did well with them. Jerzon Newton, and then coming back at Mikey Sainer still, back-to-back picks there for Washington in the second round. And Ben Sinnott is okay at tight end. I'm fine with that. He's going to help them out. He's going to play for them pretty quickly. So they're bettering themselves. Brandon Coleman out of TCU, offensive tackle, is an okay pick again. But then you work your way down, and Luke McCaffrey to round out round three, I thought was a good finish for them. I think they're adding playmakers. They're adding pieces to take a bad team and make them okay. That's a big step in and of itself. And then you start to build off of that. So that was another winner for me. The Cardinals draft, I didn't like that much. I thought they've got a lot of picks and they're not really taking advantage of adding guys with good value at their picks. But anybody else stand out to you as a loser or a winner from day two?
I'll mention one on each. I'm going to mention the Houston Texans as another team I thought had a solid draft overall. Not flashy. Kamari Laster isn't the fastest corner in the world, but he didn't run the 4.6 whatever that people said he ran at his pro day. He ran faster than that, and he's just a good football player. You turn on the tape, he's feisty, he's physical. Sometimes gets a little too handsy, but that's something that is fixable. Blake Fisher, a guy who's got a lot of upside at right tackle, and they needed to address the offensive line a little bit. They have all the weapons in place. They really just need to add something else along the offensive line. Fisher's got the ability to step in at right tackle immediately. And Kalen Bullock, a guy who played safety in college but could even move to corner on the outside. Yep. He could be in competition. I think that's where they're – I wouldn't be surprised if they played him there. They brought in the former Ohio State first-round pick of the Detroit Lions, Jeff Okuda. And they have other options at corner, but this brings in another guy that can compete there at corner. Safety can compete there as well. I know they already drafted Laster, but this is a good pick, a guy who can play a lot of roles in the secondary, and he has not reached his full potential. There's a lot of upside here with this pick. I really like Kalen Bullock. Good overall draft for the Texans. Then one loser, Jeremy, Tavondre Sweat to the Tennessee Titans. After the DUI charges, everything, I didn't expect him to go quite that high. I know that Tennessee had a need there, but you could also argue they passed up on some good pass rushers at that point in the draft. They could have taken one of those. Adisa Isaac was there, several other guys that would have been a good fit for them. I know they need help on the interior, and with Jeffrey Simmons, I think they could do a lot of damage, but Tennessee's draft overall has me questioning things a little bit. They've got a lot of weight. They're two players combined for, 700 pounds, I think, of their first two picks?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, their biggest need was to get more physical. I mean, that's just how it was. And so they made it a point to do so. And you can't hate it, but it's also underwhelming when you go after Sweat at this range in the draft, especially with the news that came out about his DWI a few weeks ago. And not saying that can't just be a one-time mistake and you move past it as an NFL team and as a player here, but it just felt like a guy that they could have gotten a little bit later. And then when you only have one pick on day two, that hurts your stock there as well. The Vikings didn't have a pick on day two, so that, you know, it's I know they get two first-round picks, and you really like their two first-round picks, so that balances it out a little bit. But still, you're sitting around a long time and watching a lot of good players go off the board without taking them. So that has to hurt for some of these teams a little bit that don't have as many picks on day two here. Let me do this, Andrew. I'm going to give you a pick that I absolutely love. Just an individual pick here. And it wasn't necessarily surprising to me, but just absolutely love it. And it's Adonai Mitchell to the Colts. At 52 overall, this is a guy with a ton of upside. And when you listen to Chris Ballard in the press conference after they made the selection, he came down hard on anybody that was questioning this kid's character. And I guess there was an anonymous report about character concerns, and they had no such concerns with A.D. Mitchell. And couldn't believe that he was still there for them. A home run pick. If he turns out to be anywhere near his ceiling, this offense that the Colts are building looks really formidable. And I just really love this pick for the Colts and for their young quarterback, Anthony Richardson. Getting a guy who can win anywhere on the field is awesome. And you combine him with why can't I think of his name now? We're recording this at 11 p.m., everybody. So, or 12 p.m., it is not working. So,
Jonathan Taylor, Josh Downs, Michael Pittman.
Michael Pittman, absolutely. That's who it is, Michael Pittman. I kept wanting to say Michael Penix. I'm still rattled from the Michael Penix trauma of round one. But yeah, Michael Pittman, this is a good group of receivers in Indianapolis. I just really love this pick. So, Andrew, did you have anything that you really loved here as we're recording at 12 a.m. here?
One pick that I really liked, and a lot of people hated on the Dallas Cowboys draft. There were two picks that I thought made a lot of sense. One was Marshawn Nealon from Western Michigan. This guy is a ready pass rusher to come in. He can step in from day one. I know he didn't have a bunch of sack production, but he had like 30 some stinking pressures this past year. This guy is consistent. He gets into the backfield, just needs to learn to finish. But why does he need to finish when you have guys like Micah Parsons and all these guys? Hopefully someone like this will help free up Mozzie Smith on the interior of the defensive line, who struggled at times his rookie season, which kind of surprised me because I was really high on him last year. But this gives them more flexibility up front. Another pass rusher. It makes the defense only better. And then Cooper Beebe. If there is not a center there that you love, take the guard and move TJ Bass to center. That makes a lot of sense. TJ Bass actually showed some promise, something that I'd never seen when I'd done his original evaluation, but he looked promising last year. You can move him to center. Beebe plays guard. And now all of a sudden you've got an offensive line that still needs some more depth, but they at least have a starting five out there that doesn't look entirely awful on paper. So I felt like the Cowboys filled a need there. And then I want to get your thoughts on one specifically, Kool-Aid McKinstry, because I know he's a guy that you kind of stayed up high on him. I kind of went back down and then rose back up toward the end of the draft process. But playing with Marshon Lattimore, that is a great fit for him. Playing opposite him, this is going to be a good Saints defense.
It is, and they need that because I'm afraid for their offense. I really am. I have major concerns for that offense. So, but yeah, I think when you look at the history of the cornerback position in New Orleans as well, he kind of fits that mold as a do-it-all corner who can kind of just step in from day one and know what he's doing. So I do like that for McKinstry. I would say that McKinstry's upside is a little limited. His ceiling isn't as high as his teammate Terrion Arnold or some of the other corners that even went a little bit after him, but I don't hate it. Or I don't hate the player is what I'm trying to say. So I think that it does make sense for them. Andrew, I have two surprise picks from one team, one good and one bad. I'm going to start with the bad. And that was Caden Wallace to the Patriots in round three. What are we doing here? Is Bill Belichick still running this team? Are we taking six rounders in the third round? What's going on here, Andrew?
Where's the white wide receivers? Where's the white wide receivers?
Yeah, where'd we go with that? Hey, they were all taken by this point. Yes. Well, Luke McCaffrey, I guess, wasn't, but and then on the flip side, Jalen Polk, I really like that pick in round two. He's been undervalued all throughout the lead up to the draft. So taking him earlier than maybe it was expected. I don't hate that. I think he fits what they want to do well. And you had to get Drake May something in that building to throw somebody in that building to throw the football to. With some playmaking upside. So I like that, but kind of a tale of two cities there, tale of two picks for the New England Patriots. One I really liked, one I really did not like, that were surprising as well in the fact that of where they went. So anybody else as a surprise or a pick you really liked or didn't like?
One guy that we had kind of talked a little bit before the show about Patrick Paul from Houston, just the fact that he's not ready and Miami needs someone that is ready to start right there. I thought the value presented itself for Miami, but they're looking for someone who's ready to step in from day one. I just thought they would have addressed the offensive line sooner. They would have found a way to maneuver around the draft board up or down to be able to get into that second round where that sweet spot was for the tackles when we have that run on tackles. I would say one guy that I thought was a good pick, just a little bit higher than what people thought, was Jonathan Brooks to the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers running backs did not show a whole lot of inspiration with Chuba Hubbard and the other guys they still have there. There's nothing that looks great. Jonathan Brooks is going to be an intriguing pick in dynasty drafts and very much even in redraft leagues, because he's going to have some immediate touches. So it is something that I have my eye on. I think that was a great pick for Carolina. And all of a sudden the moves that they made, Bryce Young, he's got a chance to actually succeed this year, and I'm happy for him because people are knocking him, his upside. I don't think he's a washed pick. I really think there's a lot of upside with Bryce Young. He wasn't given a fair deal last year. I'm excited to see what happens with him this upcoming year.
I'm excited too, and Panthers fans need something to be excited about. Yes. So Xavier Leggett on day one, you probably still would have gotten him at pick 33. So, you know, fifth year option now. I don't hate it. Go get your guy. Make sure nobody jumps you for him. But I can't sit here and hate on too many teams for what they did, because a lot of it made sense, even though maybe the player chosen at the time was not the guy I would have taken in that spot. But not to be a homer here, but my big winner is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't think that's a reach. I don't think that is subjective too much to the point where I can't give an objective opinion about this, where you just fill needs, but you do so with value and you're not reaching for anybody. There are zero reaches on the Pittsburgh Steelers chart right now. When you look at their draft picks, everybody was a value pick at a position of need. And it wasn't like you're just chasing needs either. These are high value positions, offensive tackle. Center is a high value position. I don't care what people say. Center is a high value position.
Yeah.
And to get maybe the best one in the entire draft in the second round, in the middle of the second round, was great. And then a wide receiver. Yeah. He's got a little bit of limitations, but he can run the route tree. He's got a lot of upside athletically, a lot of speed. And then a guy in Peyton Wilson, who, if he lands and he stays healthy, could be considered in the steal of the draft category at this time. So they're my big, big winner. I don't know if you've got somebody else. Maybe that's a big winner for you before we look ahead to day three.
Steelers would be mine as well. And Steelers, those that are listening that aren't Steelers fans, we're not just saying this because we are fans. The value, like Jeremy said, was fantastic. And you talk about, I mean, Roman Wilson was the one that I was a little bit shaky on at first, but once that kind of sunk in, I'm like, okay, this does make some sense. And I would have preferred a guy like Jalen McMillan just because of his physicality underneath and his well-roundedness. I feel like Wilson doesn't have quite as many NFL-ready traits as McMillan had, but still a great pick. And you're talking about Peyton Wilson, the guy we had on the board at 42 overall, getting him at that late, it's an incredible value. It wasn't necessarily a huge position of need immediately, but the Steelers had a lot of injuries there last year. It doesn't hurt to have guys in the waiting, in the wings there at linebacker. And like you said, I thought the Steelers were going to make a move at some point in this draft, whether it be up or down. I thought they were going to, but they didn't need to based upon the players that fell to them. And they were wise enough to just stay there and take good players. My dream pick, Mike Sanders, still was one pick away from probably not even becoming a reality. It just would make me more mad because the Steelers passed on him. But the Steelers have got a good player there in Zach Frazier. And I know one of our colleagues, Shannon White, who's been a huge, huge supporter of Zach Frazier at 51. Is beyond thrilled. And he also gets Peyton Wilson, like another guy that he is super high on.
Yeah, a great draft so far for the Steelers, who are building off of last year's draft as well. Omar Khan and Andy White will need to start getting recognition up there with some of the better GMs in the league. Let's look ahead to day three, Andrew. There's some good players still on the board. I look at TJ Tampa. I look at Jaden Hicks, Troy Franklin, Brandon Dorlus, Cam Hart, even guys like Devontae Walker and Chris Abrams-Drain, Abrams-Drain being a slot corner out of Missouri. There's some good players that maybe they're more role players at the next level or guys that have some upside but have low floors as well. But still, there's some good names out here. Are you looking at anything specifically, any positions, maybe any teams that you've got your eye on going into day three?
Still looking at the interior of the offensive line. And Jeremy, be honest with me, because I'm perfectly fine. If you say yes to this, my feelings will not be hurt. I a complete idiot for having Cedric Van Praan rated as high as I had him? I know nobody else did, but am I that big of an idiot?
I don't think so. I just think it's devaluation of that position. And you had two guys who many thought were clearly better. And I don't know. Nobody else is gone other than Powers Johnson and Frazier. So I don't think you're an idiot. I just think the value plays into it a little bit.
I understand the arm length concerns because the 31-inch arms, that is concerning. But he's still 36 on the big board. We only have one other player in the top 50, though, that's available, and that's Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at 43. Everyone else, you know, that's actually not bad. Some years we've had multiple, good five or six players still in the top 50. Teams are staying – the overall picks are chalked, just not to the teams we necessarily projected them to go to. but there's still some good wide receivers on the board. Yep. Jeremy, I know you like Troy Franklin. Malik Washington is a guy that I really like.
Yep.
I'm surprised he's still available. And don't rule out the running backs. Jalen Wright is still on the board. Braylon Allen will go off. Will Shipley is a guy that's been underrated. I think he's a guy in round four, probably comes off the board, and is going to be a really good pick for some team. Still a lot of good guys. Muhammad Kamara, a guy who I thought would be off the board, an edge rusher, speed rusher, interesting guy. And I think you also see a run on tight ends too. The one run we'll have. You still have Jatavion Sanders there. You have Theo Johnson there. There's several other guys that could be in there. Wiley from TCU. There's still a lot of talent there. So don't bash day three of the draft, fans. If you're out there, don't just not turn on day three of the draft. The majority of your team is constructed through day three and undrafted free agency.
Yep.
So you're building depth. You're acquiring potential special teams aces. You're getting those diamonds in the rough, which I think is arguably the most exciting thing in the draft. So don't just turn off the TV. Oh, there nobody good can come out of day three. Every year we see guys that come out of nowhere, become stars in this league from day three.
What's more fun than a day three draft pick who turns into a training camp darling and then absolutely kills it for your team during the season? That's the best. It's the best feeling.
It is.
So, Andrew, I'm looking at the wide receivers and the covermen. I mean, there's so many of these guys, and they're just going to come off the board. They're just going to come off the board in rounds four through seven here on day three. The corners specifically, there's so many of them, but wide receivers, corners, some interior offensive linemen, I think you can still get good value there. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see how it plays out. But that's going to do it for us here on the day two recap. We hit some teams that we really liked their drafts, some teams that we weren't a big fan of, favorite picks. It was a lot of fun. Andrew, we're going to be back after day three, and we're going to do more of a general wrap-up of the draft at that point, and then we'll give our final thoughts in another episode down the road as well. But the draft show is probably going away here soon, since the draft will be over and done with, but we will still be sticking around here on the FFSN NFL feed, as well as the Steel Curtain Network. You can check out Andrew's work there, as well as my own. We'll talk to you next time here on the Fans First Sports Network NFL Draft Show.